From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the people who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. If you're familiar with the wonderful book and the movie, Angela's Ashes, then you'll know the McCourt brothers, Frank and Malachy, and their life of poverty in Ireland and their journey to Brooklyn, New York. Well, before they became famous, they wrote a two-man musical show called A Couple of Blackguards, which is a humorous and a ferociously rollicking account of their upbringing, featuring classical storytelling as well as some jolly songs. The piece is a series of vignettes and episodes from the McCourt brothers' lives as young men in Ireland and then as immigrants in New York. Well, there's a wonderful production of the show currently playing at the Cinnabar Theatre in Petaluma, and two of the Bay Area's most accomplished and award-winning actors, Stephen Abbott and Tim Niffin, are performing in the show. They're playing all the roles, including their family members, community members, employers, teachers, clergymen, rogues, fools, petty tyrants, and even their old girlfriends and their mother. And they're my guests on today's show, so please welcome to the field trip, Stephen Abbott and Tim Niffin. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I got to tell people that you're professional actors and this is your equity day off, so I'm very happy that you're on the show and I appreciate it.
Pleasure. Our pleasure.
Well, first let me congratulate you on a terrific show. You just worked wonderfully together and I loved it, and so did the audience that I saw it with on opening night. Standing ovation.
Oh, so glad you could make it. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
We're having a good run.
Well, let's explain for those who may not be familiar with the term blackguards. What is a blackguard?
Well, according to Webster's, it would be a scoundrel or villain. But according to the McCourt brothers, it's a charming, lovable rogue.
And we'll go with that.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Well, let's describe the set so that listeners can get a feeling of the show.
Well, we're setting it in a pub, actually. Malachy ended up becoming an actor and a radio personality, and somebody once asked him if he'd like to have his own pub. And so we decided, well, let's set it in his pub. And so we're as if we're telling stories in Malachy's. The brothers Frank and Malachy are telling their stories in there.
And our set designer, David Lear, is just a magician and such a wonderful designer to have. And he's given us a gorgeous, gorgeous set. We've got these giant planks for the floor, these big wooden planks that are recycled bleachers. Mm-hmm. Normally in a theater, you paint the wood floor on, and we've got this big hunk and wood floor planks. It's just beautiful, and a big bar that's just stocked. And our band is on stage with us. We've got an Irish band. Ukali is their name, and our musical director has joined them, Jim Peterson. And they're on stage with us. We've got a nice fireplace. It's beautiful.
Doesn't it feel like it makes all the difference to have the live musicians there? Correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen, but I think we were told that originally when the McCourt brothers did the play, they just had the music kind of recorded. And,
yeah, it was to a soundtrack.
Uh-huh. And we've got a fiddle player and an accordion player and a wonderful bassist and then of course Jim leading the way with the guitar, and it's just so wonderful to have them on stage with us.
So this show is very warm and lots of vitality, and it's also got some very poignant and touching moments, but tell me about the challenge of playing so many roles when oftentimes the only thing you got to work with is a napkin on your head or a hat.
It's a fun process to do. You know, you just switch from one character to another, using mostly voice and body, and we do throw a little towel over our head or a pair of glasses or something occasionally, but it's a fun challenge for an actor because you've got to really make those choices distinct so that the audience can tell what's happening. But in the context of this show, it's not difficult to follow because the storytelling is very clear and fun.
Yeah, it's such a great different thing to do, to be going from all these really great, pretty extreme characters in their lives. And then our director, Sherry Lee Miller, of course, she's quite brilliant in her own right. And she, for example, she is the one who suggested having the cigarette hanging out of the mouth for the grandma character. And that just, you know, that's all it took to just take off with yeah. grandma. Yeah.
Well, talk about some of the other characters that you play in the shows.
Oh, sure.
Well, it's one of the fun things is that there's a couple of characters that we both get to do. Like, we both do the grandmother. Tim does her more, but I get one little shot at grandma, which is really fun for me because I get to try to imitate what Tim has created, which is quite brilliant.
And then we both get to do our mother as well.
Mm-hmm. And our father.
And our father, right, yeah.
But Tim does all kinds of wonderful things in the first act where he's a priest giving a fire and brimstone sermon and the schoolmaster when young Frank is having to learn the catechism. And
Stephen will play plays a bunch of characters in the first act as well and the second act. We follow Frank, who Stephen plays, through the first act mostly. So like Stephen says, we both play three sets of women in the play.
Oh, these are so yeah. fun.
As well, yeah.
We do, and Sherry sort of designed it where the first time it's two young women, and then the second time two middle-aged women grieving over one of the husband's death. And then finally we have two older women who are just trading insults. And part of Sherry's direction in that was that by the end they've lost all dignity.
how does that bit go? Give us a little taste.
Oh, all right. Do you want to start there, Tim?
Isn't it very strange? There are some and their husbands are gone off to England to join the British Army after what the English did to the Irish for eight long centuries.
There are some that don't mind if their husbands sit on their arses in the kitchen reading the paper and waiting for the streets to be well aired before they take a little stroll down the town looking for work and hoping to God they won't find it.
Well, yeah, there's nobody in my family looks like a black and tan, but there are some that are living off the British Army pension because she claims her husband was wounded in the war.
There's one I won't even mention. She's known all over as the town bicycle, for there isn't a man standing in Limerick that didn't have a good ride on her.
Yeah, there's some that can talk that have a daughter wandering around painted and powdered and rouged, a street walking, flag hopping, strapping walk of a streetwalker. She spends so much time down the docks on her back, on the flat of her back, attracting and wrecking foreign sailors. She's known all over Limerick as Limerick's Harbor Light.
Daughters, is it? Daughters? There's some that have twin daughters that Irish Catholic names are not good enough for them. Oh, no. They have to christen the little girls after what they think is two Italian saints, syphilis and gonorrhea.
God bless your cheek. May your husband be standing sentry duty at Buckingham Palace, and may the King of England's horse fart in his face.
And you, may you swallow your tongue, may it travel the lengths of your insides, and may you spend the rest of your days talking through the hole of your arse.
there might be a little more than you wanted, but there you go.
Fabulous, love it. Yeah, it's great. And how about a little something between the McCourt brothers? You know, any little scene that particularly catches your fancy?
Oh, we could do the very beginning.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. Frank.
Malachy.
And your
noble selves. I'm from Limerick.
So am I.
Limerick is the oldest city in Ireland, second oldest in the British Isles. It sits where the River Shannon swings to the right and emigrates to America for itself.
Limerick is a very ancient city with walls, ruins, and crumbling castles. It's so historic. The favorite word of the Limerickman is...
was.
And the women of Limerick, oh, the women. Is there anyone in the world who hasn't heard of their beauty, their piety, and the ferocity of their chastity? The favorite word of the Limerick woman is
no.
No.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, it's lovely. I love it. Well, now, you also sing the songs, and Tim, you sing one that's called There's No One With Endurance Like a Man Who Sells Insurance.
Yeah, we both get a shot at that. I do it first in the first act, and then Stephen does it in the second
That's
act.
That's right.
Yeah.
How does that go?
For there's no one with endurance like the man who sells insurance. He's everybody's best friend. He will follow you and fret you, but believe me, he will get you, for he gets us all in the end.
And now this is about the insurance man who would come around once a week and ask for his few coppers for the life insurance, right?
That's right.
Well, actually, it's not for life insurance. In their case, they were paying insurance for their burial.
So it's not life insurance, it's death insurance, actually.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen, you sing Mother McCree, which is another favorite. How does that one go?
Sure, I love the dear silver that shines in your hair, and the brow that's all furrowed and wrinkled with care. I kiss the dear fingers so toil-worn for me. Oh, God bless you and keep you, Mother McCree.
Any idea who Mother McCree was? I don't know, but...
I haven't done my homework on that one, I'm sorry to say.
I grew up in England, and I used to hear Mother McCree quite a lot. But
well, you know, I actually get to sing this to someone in the audience, and I would say about half the time when I get to that final line, she's mouthing those final words, which I just find
she was.
So
this, I noticed that in the matinee show yesterday. It was great. Stephen
it
came
wasn't
up
the
to
the first time, yeah.
Oh, and she had this wonderful gray hair, and she was singing along with you. It was
yes.
So cute.
There's another song that I really like that the both of you sing, the Bells of Hell. It's a cute little song. That's
yeah.
The end of the play. How's that little song go?
Okay, you want to try it, Tim?
Okay.
All right, let me, you start.
The bells of hell go ding-a-ling-a-ling for you, but not for me. Oh, death, where is thy sing-a-ling-a-ling, or grave thy victory? If you meet the undertaker, or the young man from the brew, have a pint with what's left over, and I'll say goodnight to you.
Terrific.
There's a little echo that was happening.
There is. Well, I
that.
Should tell my listeners that we're on a conference call. We're not all in the same place. We're in three different places. But that worked pretty well, thanks to the telephone company.
Hey, Mitchell, I wanted to mention also that we're doing this play where we're talking about a lot of our ancestors and folks who have passed away, and then what we even say together at the very end of the play, we come from a long line of dead people, which I think is a brilliant line. And I have the opportunity to be wearing as my jacket for the show is the Cinnabar Theater's founding father, Marvin Kleeby, who passed away a number of years ago. And Jan Kleeby is allowing me to wear the coat. It kind of adds a special button to the show for me to wear, you know, this really, really special coat.
It's a really sweet show. I got to tell you, some friends of mine saw it when they were in Ireland a few years ago, and they were there the other night, and they said that your show was every bit as good as the one they saw there.
Oh, thank you.
One shout-out that I want to just give, too, is our director, Sherry, is just so wonderful to work with. I'm constantly seeing her wonderful hand in our little shenanigans.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, she did a great job, and you guys are doing a great job. I got to tell my audience that I did not warn these two guys that I was going to ask them to sing on their day off or without accompaniment, and they've been very good sports for doing it. I do appreciate it. So if you want a fun and very entertaining evening of theater, go see Tim and Stephen in A Couple of Blackguards at the Cinnabar Theater in Petaluma. It's a hit show directed by Sherry Lee Miller. It's actually been extended through January 27th. For more information, go to cinnabartheater.org. And Tim Niffin and Stephen Abbott, continued success to you both.
Thanks, Mitchell.
Appreciate you coming on the show, and thanks for taking us on a field trip today.
Thanks for having us.
It was lovely. Thank you.
Thanks. That's Tim Niffin and Stephen Abbott, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me today on the field trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet with the fabulous Marin sax man, Noel Jukes, up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that the field trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays on Comcast cable channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org 24 hours a day, or as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends. And if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.